Our topic of discussion is exercise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please be with us now as we discuss this important law of health. Exercise is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The curse causeless shall not come. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, part B, it tells us that the curse causeless shall not come. And in Ministry of Healing, page 127, disease never comes without a cause. Whenever you see a disease, look for the cause. There must be some cause. And what you need to do is to go to that root cause. Planning and dealing with the symptoms is not the answer, but go to the root cause and address that. Now, what is disease? Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from the violation of the laws of health. And this is a statement. These few messages here are statements that you need to memorize. So what is disease? Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from the violation of the laws of health. So what are the laws of health? Repeat it with me. They are pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Abstemiousness, another word for it, is temperance, balance. But now we are looking at exercise, the law of health, the law of life, exercise. Genesis 2:15 tells us, and the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You see, from the beginning of time, man was made to work. God put him into the garden to dress it and keep it, do something, work when the day comes. It was part of his exercise. You find that even babies exercise. Do you know that? When you see they lay on their backs and they're wiggling up their hands and their legs and so forth, that's exercise for them. They're moving up their limbs. And as they grow, they're quite active and they seem to have a burst of energy. But they know about movement and nobody has to tell them and teach them to go exercise. Why is it that when we get older, we need to be reminded to do so? Our life should be one that we are active every day. Have movement, keep working, keep doing things and around the home, around the yard, in your community, or for others. Hebrews 1:2 tells us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we have a race, if you look at anyone who is involved in athletic sports, when they're going out, you don't see them with a whole lot of clothing. You know, they put that down. Look at David, when he had to go to fight his great battle to Goliath. The King Saul armored him with coat and the shield and the helmet and the boots and everything. And it was too weighty. David couldn't go slinging any slings to shoot it off in such clothing. And so he had to put that down and be light and free. So for us as well, in the, our spiritual lives, we need to put aside every weight which would so easily beset us. Anything that is there in our lives, as small as it may be, if it is not needed for our soul salvation, if it would not help us along in this race in which we are in life, to be saved, to aim towards that finish goal where Christ would say, "Come, ye blessed, you have fought a good fight, you have finished the course." If it would not help us along there, but it would rather deter us, keep us back, we need to put it aside. And the other point here is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Look onto Jesus. He's the author. He is the finisher of our faith. And if we keep our eyes on him, notice that those who are actually running, they don't look to the left nor to the right. They keep their eyes focused. If they were to look to the left at their neighbor, at their friends, look to the right, and the elder, the church pastor, look, if they were to look at anyone who is running the race too, they can fall behind. They can stumble and fall, and something is before them. They would not see it. So too, we need to keep our eyes focused, looking on to Jesus only. He is the one that's the goal, that's the finish line, and there is where we need to keep our focus on. So looking on to him, and you would see who for the joy that was set before him, as he too looked at the joy that was set ahead of him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, as you look to Jesus and see how he endured, how he kept his eyes focused upon God, and how he was able to make it and overcome sin, any sin temptation that would have come to him, he was able to overcome that. So too, by us keeping our eyes on Jesus, we would be encouraged, we would be able to endure to the end and be victorious. Now, Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." As you keep, as you look towards the Lord, wait upon him. Let him renew your strength. Every morning we go before the Lord and ask him, "Lord, take charge of my life today. Help me to be able to run this race. Help me not to be weary and faint-hearted and to go back or to make a decision that would cause detriment in my future, in my health, in my spiritual life, in my finances, with my relations, with my family, with my friends." Let us be keeping our eyes, wait on God, do it things his way so that we would be able to keep on the right path. The adage, "use it or lose it," applies not only to muscles and bones, but also to the heart, lung, brain, blood vessels, joints, and every other part of the body. A sedentary life is a direct route to an earlier grave. So let us not be sitting all the time and not moving. Use it or lose it. Use your muscles. You strengthen your bones. Lift heavy things, so that your bones be strengthened. Keep that movement so that your lungs is expanded. Your heart can be able to pump with vitality. Read every day. Exercise your brains and your joints. Get movement. Don't sit idly by. Sedentary lifestyle. Physically, if you sit and not move, or what about if you have a sedentary lifestyle even with your mind, with your brain? You're not thinking on deep thoughts, grappling with deep things, trying to memorize. That is being sedentary even with your mind. So let us exercise this every day. Now, state three effects on the body during exercise. One, muscle fibers contract and release as you exercise. The heart pumps more rapidly. Lungs work harder to get more oxygen to the body. So all these little parts of the body that you're not thinking about, exercise will help and achieve those parts of the body to be exercised. How do you exercise your lungs? How do you exercise your heart? This is the way in which we do it, through exercise. Now, name three benefits to the body that is triggered by exercise. Increased enzyme reaction. As you exercise, you cause your body to release more enzymes when it is you eat. Now, when we eat our foods, we can get some enzymes from our living foods or raw foods that would be specific to the type of food that you're eating. So it would aid in the digestion of that food. For example, if you ate a banana, in that banana has enzymes in it to help you to break down that substance in the banana itself. Hence the importance for you to be chewing, because as you chew, you help with your salivary glands to release enzymes for that banana, as well as in the banana itself has enzymes that would help that banana to be digested properly. So your teeth will break and activate those cells in the banana itself. But all, you would see too that it is recommended that we take a casual walk after you eat. And that in itself helps increase the enzyme reaction. Nerve stimulation. Your nerves would be stimulated. You're able to feel better. Your senses will be more acute. And metabolic enhancement. Your metabolism is now improved. It's not too fast, nor is it too slow. When those are some of the benefits triggered by exercise. Can exercise can help you to do what? It can help you to burn calories. It can increase strength and endurance. So you want to be strong, you want to be able to have stamina. You know, there's some folks, when if you try walking with them, they soon burn out. And you may just be like, keep going, going, going. Or even through the day, some folks would say, well, I've done a task, I need to stop. And they have, you know, so much rest period times within the day. They don't have stamina to keep going. But exercise will improve that and help you to have that endurance. You would feel better, have more energy, you would optimize heart health, and you would live a longer, happier life. Exercise can also help you to lower your blood pressure and resting heart rate. So if you have high blood pressure, you would find that if you were to exercise, your blood pressure will be lowered. And there is an importance in the length of time that you spend in exercising. If you give short periods of time, short benefit. The longer you go, greater benefit. Let me give you an example. At one time, we counseled with a young lady. She had high blood pressure, and we asked her to walk every day, 7 days a week, for 1 hour of continual walking. And she agreed. She went on ahead, began her walking exercise, and as she did so, her blood pressure went down and normalized, and she was doing phenomenal. Lo and behold, one day she called and said, something has gone wrong. My blood pressure is just like rising, dancing up, giving different figures. It's high again. And so we said, well, what are you doing? I'm doing everything. What are you doing? You sure you're doing everything? Yes. He said, uh-uh. We put you on a program. It works. There's something that you're not doing. Let's see. And we went, sat with her again and went through the steps of the program that we placed her on. When it came to exercise, are you exercising? Yes. Are you walking for an hour? Well, I go to the gym and I walk, yes. But I also do some lift weight training. And so my instructor, you know, he asked me, I walk for 45 minutes and then for 15 minutes I do some weights. You do what? What did we ask you to do? We asked you to walk for 60 minutes, for 1 hour, one continual hour. We asked you to walk for. You're cutting that short. Please go back up, not 45, but go back up to 60 minutes and do your walk 1 hour. She agreed. The young lady went back and she began doing her walking for 1 hour, and the success was there again. The blood pressure began to go down and normalized. 60 minutes, it makes a difference. You'd also see that for our diabetics, when we ask them to go walking, it's for one continual hour. Did you know that walking for one continual hour is equivalent to 20 units of insulin? That's correct. So right away, you would need to reduce, you would see the importance to reduce the amount of insulin that you are taking. Take this back to your healthcare provider, and they're going to help you in reducing that. And the thing is, if you were to take insulin on top of what all these natural protocols that you're practicing, it will cause your blood sugar to drop even lower. So pay attention. But 1 hour of continual walking is equivalent to 20 units of insulin. Our diabetics soon are off their medication, sooner off that insulin because of exercise. Exercise also helps to lower LDL cholesterol levels in the blood and raise the HDL cholesterol level. So that LDL that needs to be on the lower spectrum, it can be reduced with exercise. So diet being one thing, rest being another, but exercise also helps in lowering your cholesterol level. Then you have the strength of your bones by retaining calcium. Every time your feet hit the ground, it increases the absorption of calcium in the body. So you're low on calcium, you need calcium for your bones to be strengthened, your teeth, for your blood. And so calcium, as you walk, it increases that release of calcium in your body. And exercise also helps you to lift depression. Exercising in the open air, you see the birds, you feel the soft, cool breeze on your face. You can breathe deeply of the fresh air in the outdoors, and it just lifts your spirit. You can see the flowers in bloom. You can see creatures along the way, and it takes your mind off your worry, things that may worry you. It takes your mind off your cares, and you can feel happier. In fact, the exercise releases those endorphins, the happy hormones, and you do feel happier when you exercise. Exercise also helps you to relieve anxiety and stress. So if you're anxious, and there are individuals who say they feel anxious all the time, exercise, you would see a remarkable difference. It increases your overall energy and efficiency in all areas of your life. It helps you to maintain your desirable weight level. And so if you want to lose weight, diet would help, other lifestyle habits would help. But exercise is definitely one of those things that you need to incorporate in your life. And it also helps to, and we want to also show here too, that your desirable weight level. So there are individuals who would say, well, I don't have weight to lose, but if you exercise, you find that you can maintain your weight level because your muscles would be exercised, your legs and everything would have movement. And when you do so, everyone, you need, when you exercise, you're losing the weight, but also lift some weights, like some dumbbells. You can get those, have them personally, or if you are at some facility where you can get access to them. And as you lift those weights, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever you can, and increase as you do so, it helps to give tone to your muscles, and you're able to keep that muscle tone while it gets smaller. But make sure you have those weights that you can lift. You can create your own by getting two big bottles, filling them with water or filling them with sand, and have your own homemade thing that you don't have to pay any additional money for, but lift those weights. If you're into gardening, that's a great way to be exercising as well. And I mean like cutting the grass, raking the grass, you know, pruning, and so forth. Gardening work is another way in which you can have your muscle tone maintained, as well as getting movement and exercise. Then proper circulation, improving your circulation when you exercise. So just moving your legs, we find that individuals who are bedridden through some illness, or they are sick, or they're aged and they have some condition that holds them down in bed, their limbs soon waste away, and you would need to physically exercise and move their legs for them, move their hands for them, so that they can improve the blood circulation while they lay there. And, simply by doing those things, it would be great for those that you're taking care of. Now, the blood is not able to expel the impurities as it would if active circulation were induced by exercise. So you're thinking about cleaning up the blood, cleaning up your liver, taking some detox maybe, or a cleansing program. It is incomplete if exercise is not in it. So you must make exercise and incorporate exercise as part of any health program that you're on. It expels impurities. So when you exercise and you perspire, your skin being the largest organ of that will excrete waste matter, it will throw off anything that's in your blood that shouldn't be there, any waste matter, it will throw that off. That's why when you perspire, the clothing that you wear, you should wash it, not just hang it up to dry and then you use it again, because the impurities that is now within the fabric of your clothing, when you put that on again, you will actually be reabsorbing those impurities into your blood. So it exercise, as you put fire, it expels impurities. Judicious exercise will induce the blood to the surface and thus relieve the internal organs. So if you have congestion in anywhere in your body, when you judiciously exercise, it will help to relieve the congestion. Now, brisk, yet not violent, exercise in the open air with gentleness of spirit will induce the circulation, giving a healthful glow to the skin and sending the blood vitalized by the pure air to the extremities. So you want to exercise, it's going to be brisk, and it's not, excessive. But doing it in the open air is way better than doing it inside a gym. When you're inside a gym, the air quality is really poor. You have others who are you know, expelling waste through their skins. They're breathing in and out that air inside of their consumed. Be still. And you're inhaling deeply because you're exercising. So it is recommended greatly that the best place to exercise is outdoors, in the open air, not in a gym. Neglecting to exercise the entire body or a portion of it will bring morbid conditions. In addition to any of the organs of the body will be followed by a decrease in size and strength of the muscles, and will cause the blood to flow sluggishly through the blood vessels. Neglecting to exercise the entire body or a portion of it will cause these muscles, tissues, and you know, to be shrunken as well as, so if you want to build muscle, exercise. If you want to strengthen your muscles, your bones, exercise. If you want to cause your blood to move along freely in your body, exercise. Taking a blood thinner is just addressing the symptom. You're not dealing with the cause. If you're taking a blood thinner and you're not exercising, you'd be on blood thinners all your life. But if you start exercising, you'd be exercising all your life too, yes. But it's natural. It doesn't have the side effects, and your blood will be happier for it. Now, when the weather will permit, all who can possibly do so ought to walk in the open air every day. Summer and winter and rainy season, and if the season is hot, exercise in the open air. Go out and walk in the open air every day. But the clothing should be suitable for the exercise, and the feet should be well protected. So a walk, even in winter, will be more beneficial to the health than all the medicine the doctors may provide. For those who can walk, walking is preferable to riding. So even if it is winter and you're going out to exercise, dress appropriately, so that you are warm. Cover your feet properly so that your feet is warm. And you find that as you begin your walking and your movement, you soon warm up even further. But make sure you're clad properly. And then another thing too is, even if it is not winter, it's summertime, you're in the tropics and you're going out to do your early morning exercise, dress yourself properly too. Wear your long skirt, put on your track top or a long sleeve top, and you put your shoes on your feet and you go out to do your walking, exposing your arms, exposing your legs, even in the cool of the morning, is not going to be helpful when it comes to improving the blood circulation. Because even if you're in the tropics and it's cool in the morning, 5 o'clock, and you're out there and you're exercising, your skin is going to be exposed to that chill, that coolness out there, and you would be losing so much energy rather than concentrating it for your muscles and what you're doing. Your blood now would leave and go to be your skin area and start congesting your organs because you're chilled. So we need to dress properly when we're going to exercise. The other point here is that you can walk, and walking is preferable to riding, swimming, jogging, playing tennis, cricket, running, anything other exercise. Walking is preferable. Let us see. The muscles and veins are enabled better to perform their work. There will be increased vitality, which is so necessary to health. The lungs will have needful action, for it is impossible to go out in the bracing air of a winter's morning without inflating the lungs. As you go outdoors and you start exercising out there, you find that you would need to breathe deeply, and that stale air from inside can now come out and fill your body, fill your lungs with fresh air. Exercise will aid the work of digestion. To walk out after a meal, hold the head erect, put back the shoulders, and exercise moderately will be a great benefit. The mind will be converted from self to the beauties of nature. The less the attention is called to the stomach after a meal, the better. If you are in constant fear that your food will hurt you, it most assuredly will. Forget self and think of something cheerful. And when you eat, for about 15 to 30 minutes, you can go and do a casual walk. It's not a brisk walk, but a casual walk. Go around the block, you know, and just go down the street, come back up. Just get outdoors, and as you do so, you find that it will aid in digestion. Your digestive organs will get movement. It would be massaged into bringing that food down, helping it along so that your digestive organs don't have to work as hard. And the other important point here to remember, too, is that it triggers and activates enzyme reaction. How your enzymes react with your foods and break up those foods into smaller molecules, smaller bits, so that your stomach can receive the food, your small intestines can receive the food in a quicker time because of the vitality of your digestive organs. So if your work is sedentary, take exercise every day, and at each meal, eat only two or three kinds of simple food, taking no more of these than will satisfy the demands of hunger. So if your work is sedentary, it should determine the amount of meals you have and the quantity of meals you have. If your work is sedentary and you eat largely, you would find that as you sit there and you sit there, you can put on the weight. You eat largely, you can feel so bloated and stuffed because you don't exercise. So if you want to enjoy nice hearty meals, you know, and let it be that your activities correspond with that as well. So weightlifting and aerobic exercises utilizes the fast and slow twitch muscles that does what? That would boost metabolism, that would burn fat, and that would strengthen the cardiovascular system. So as you have those movements, quick movements, it would help with burning fat and increasing your metabolism. Exercise in a gymnasium, however, well conducted, cannot supply the place of recreation in the open air. And for this, our schools should offer better opportunity. So even for our young ones, it is great for them to be outdoors rather than in a gym. And that's the best place to be, outdoors in the open air. Encourage patients to live healthfully and to take an abundance of exercise. This will do much to restore them to health. Let seats be placed under the shade of the tree, that the patients may be encouraged to spend much time out of doors. So if you have the sick and you're taking care of them, walk in the morning, walk during the day, walk in the afternoon. Place them outdoors, sit outdoors, and let them spend much time in the open air and in movement. How do you know that when you are exercising at your target heart rate zone? If you can exercise and carry on a basic conversation, then that's the correct rate for you. So you're walking and your hands are moving back and forth and your legs are walking and you're going forward. If you're just strolling in the park, that is not exercise that would improve your circulation, that would increase your heart rate, that would expand your lungs. You need to be brisk. Be moving. So be brisk, but not too fast that you cannot speak. You should be able to carry on a basic conversation. During moderate exercise, fat is used as energy, but during intense exercise, carbohydrates or glucose becomes the fuel of choice. So as you exercise, you burn fat. It's a great way for losing weight. You can also burn some sugar if it is that it's later in the day and you would have had breakfast sometime before and so forth. You lose fat, you lose sugar, but exercising early morning will help you to lose predominantly fat. So if you're looking to lose weight, that's a great time to exercise early morning before you would have eaten breakfast. And also for our diabetics, early morning also helps in lowering that blood sugar. But during intense exercise, like in running and those races and so forth, you will burn more carbohydrates. That's why for those who want to lose the weight, if we see some folks sometimes, you know, they're chugging and chugging along and chugging along, and they have some weight to lose. You know, if we were to talk to them, we'd say, you know, if you were to exercise, walk, if you were to walk, you would lose that weight even faster than running. So when you run, you burn your glucose, your sugar, and that becomes a fuel of choice. The fat would not be the fuel of choice. So when is the best time to exercise? Early in the morning. Here's why too. Morning exercise, walking in the free, invigorating air of heaven, or cultivating flowers, small fruits, and vegetables is necessary to a healthful circulation of the blood. It is the surest safeguard against what? Colds, coughs, congestion of the brain, inflammation of the liver, the kidneys, and the lungs, and hundreds other diseases. Taken from Healthful Living, page 176. So if you have asthma, bronchitis, sinusitis, if you have these issues, the colds, the coughs, congestion of the brain, you can't think clearly, inflammation of the liver, the kidneys, inflammation of the kidneys, inflammation of the lungs, and hundreds of other diseases, morning exercise in the free invigorating air of heaven is the best time to exercise. What is the best form of exercise and why? Walking, because there is a lower risk of injury and less shock to the joints and to your bones and to your tissues and ligaments and so forth. So walking, when you run, you overshoot. You put a great deal of stress on your joints, in your knees, in your hips, on your ankles. And you can actually have that bouncing, wearing away at the cartilage. And soon enough, you're going to have problems with your knees, with your hip area, and because you're wearing away those joints. When you run, your body weight is coming down like about 3 times on those joints. And so it's hard on the body rather than walking. So if you're playing tennis, you know, even you're jumping around back and forth, running back and forth, jumping here, jumping down the tennis court, even that can cause the injury. The jogging, and I know of an individual who had to have hip surgery because of being a tennis player in competitive sport. And so for being a tennis player for years, and in his older and latter years of life, he was so injured because of those early years activities that he had to have hip surgery. And of course, if there are complications, you know, it can just be bad on you. And so with this particular individual, you know, I had that hip surgery, and it just caused complications for him. And soon enough, within months of it, you know, he went down, down, down till he died. And it's glory when, you know, you see you're in these competitive sports, the world knows you. You're being applauded, you're being cheered, backed up, and everything. You'll find great satisfaction in doing so. But nobody sees the ill that comes behind it when you're down and you don't have, you know, use of these joints anymore, and you're in pain and you have to have the surgeries and be laid up. So let's not get ourselves involved in that, but rather do the walking. What about for those who jog? There are folks who say, "But I feel so great when I jog." Yeah, but it's taking a toll on your body and causing issues. Another thing is that for those who run, you can actually get what you call a runner's heart, where your heart is enlarged. And for some physicians, they say, look at the heart, it's enlarged, and they ask, do you run, or did you run in the past? And you might say yes. And they say, okay. All right, that's fine. You know, it explains to them why your heart is enlarged. But it's not okay, because having an enlarged heart puts you at risk for having heart disease conditions. And then your heart is now weakened and you have problems. So let us not go creating our problems. And even if you do have, you know, sickness and disease, walking, not jogging, not running, not doing the tennis activities for your exercises or as part of competitive sport or riding and so forth, but walking is the best form of exercise. Walking in all cases where it is possible is the best remedy for diseased bodies, because in this exercise, all the organs of the body are brought into use. Many who depend upon the movement cure would accomplish more for themselves by muscular exercise than the movements can do for them. In some cases, want of exercise causes the bowels and muscles to become enfeebled and shrunken. And these organs that have become enfeebled for want of use will be strengthened by exercise. There is no exercise that can take the place of walking, by it the circulation of the blood is greatly improved. Counsels on Health, page 200. So in all cases where it is possible, walking is the best remedy for diseased bodies. And when we say if it's possible, because there's some who cannot move, but walking, and even if it is that you say, you know, it's cold freezing outside, or it is unsafe for me to go out early morning hours, or, you know, I don't want to go by myself, or it's raining, don't sit down in the house and sulk and say you can't go outdoors. Walk even within the home. Open a window so you get some fresh air coming in, and just mark time on the spot. You know, you put on your shoe or you're standing on a mat or something, and you have your arms, you're moving it back and forth, and you're marking time. Just move your legs left, right, left, right, left, right. Be brisk about it. And you do that for 1 hour, and it will accomplish great good. You would be able to do that right within your home and lose the weight, improve your blood circulation, and increase the vitality to your organs, improve your bowels, simply by just marking time in spots. We've had individuals who have done this with great success. It is possible. And if you think you were going to be bored, then, you know, put on a sermon and look at it. By the time the sermon is done, 1 hour, your 1 hour has gone so quickly without you even recognizing it. Play the Bible audio and you're listening to something while you are walking on the spot. And so as you do so, you would be blessed for it. Now, the other point here too is that by walking, you will improve your bowel movement. There are lots of folks who are constipated, lots of folks who do not have proper bowel movement every day, meaning that when your stool comes out, it is not wholesome, it is not enough, a good bit amount compared to what it is you're consuming, what you're eating. And if you just get these little bits of stooling passing during your day, your bowels are not functioning properly. If you were to exercise, you would find that your bowels will be moved. So don't be taking things like laxatives and, enemas and trying to achieve bowel movement or massaging all the time and so forth. Exercise. Get moving. And you will find that even your bowels will be moved. Your bowels and muscles can become feeble. They can be shrunken in size because it is not exercising. Look at it. How do you exercise your involuntary organs? All of your organs will be brought into use. How do you exercise your pancreas? How do you exercise your kidneys? How do you exercise your spleen? How do you exercise your small intestines? By walking. Walking is that great way in which all of your body is brought into use. And that's why it is the best form of exercise. When you're swimming, you're more using your upper arms and then your legs would be moving and so forth. But the rest of your body isn't getting that exercise as compared to walking. So let us walk. What are the benefits of exercise even for heart disease? Regular physical activity reduces heart disease. Walking 30 minutes a day or more reduces the risk of heart disease by 18%. Then a brisk walk will lower the risk of heart disease. You find that women who walk more than 1 hour daily per week reduces heart disease by 50%. What types of cancer is reduced in men due to regular exercise? Prostate cancer will be reduced by 74% if men were to exercise. Now, breast cancer is also reduced in women by 37%. When women exercise, a natural chemotherapy agent is exercise, you would find that breast cancer is reduced by 37%. If they are already affected with breast cancer, a walk between 6 to 8 hours a week will their risk of early death is decreased by 50%. So even if you are affected with breast cancer, simply walking every day for 1 hour at least every day of the week will reduce your death soon to be delayed, it will cause your death to be delayed and by 50%. It also reduces cancer of the stomach, ovaries, vagina, and cervix. 1 hour of brisk walking every day will reduce weight. A sedentary life can develop obesity. Therefore, energy output must be more than energy intake. And so obesity is categorized by the World Health Association as a disease. So don't think that to be obese is okay. You do have a disease, and walking will help. A brisk walk, 1 hour. For 1 hour, that's 60 minutes, it will help to reduce the weight. Exercise has an immediate and prolonged effect on blood sugar among diabetics. So 1 hour of continual walking is equal to 20 units of insulin. One study reported that the benefits of increased glucose usage lasted several hours after exercise. So for those who exercise, you find that for their blood sugar lowers, even for several hours later, they can still have that benefit from the exercise. Regular exercise increases feelings of well-being, reduces stress, anxiety, and tension, offers long-term anxiety relief. So not just take a pill to keep you calm and then by the time it wears off, you're anxious again. But the walking will help to have that long-term anxiety relief, eases depression while reducing muscle tension, heart rate, and certain stress hormones will be released so that you're not stressed. And it also helps in the other arm to calm you down so that you're not stressed. And exercise significantly improves blood flow to the brain and increases brain neurotransmitters such as serotonin and dopamine, which have a positive effect on mood and well-being. So when it comes to brain function, to memory, when it comes to, routine, to doing tasks that would require thought and improving your intellect and so forth, exercise would help to improve the blood to the brain so that all your brain tasks can be adequately achieved. It also increases neurotransmitters. There are individuals who have neurological problems. So if they don't produce enough dopamine, you find that Parkinson's disease can step in. Alzheimer's can step in. But in walking helps to add more brain neurotransmitters such as serotonin and dopamine. These hormones that are necessary for your motor skills and your controlling your motor movement. So for those who have the Parkinson's disease, need to walk. Those who have Alzheimer's, they need to walk. And you find the evidence shows that for those who have Alzheimer's, as they would walk, and you'd be afraid for them to walk off and away, and some can go so far off. But one young lady we actually interacted with said that she had an aunt who had Alzheimer's, and she would go walking every day. But the thing is that by the time she goes walking, something triggers. You have neurogenesis taking place, new cells being created and multiplied in the brain, making those neurotransmitters to work well, to cause that mind to remember. And so as the individual would walk off, At some point, it triggers, and she remembers, oh, where did I come from? And I need to go back, and would find their way back home. And so this young lady was sharing of her aunt that would go walking off, but she will come back home. And it's because that walking would help. So don't climb them down, walk with them, you know, allow them to walk. And that is part of the body's natural reaction to giving the body what it needs in order to be well again. The neurotransmitters responsible for serotonin, which is, you know, that hormone that keeps you alert and awake, and which would also be converted late in the evening hours into the night as melatonin that would give you restful sleep. So if you have problems with sleeping, insomnia, you know, you can't go to bed and you're restless through the night, you toss and turn and you can't sleep, exercise, walking during the day will help to improve your hormones and to increase your hormone movement. And I want to interject here too that individuals who have hormonal imbalance, you need to exercise, you need to walk. Because when you walk, you find that your hormones get moved to different parts of your body at the times it needs to be getting there and help in balancing your hormones. So in balancing your hormones, make sure you're walking. Watch your other habits too, of eating, of sleeping, of dressing, but exercise and walking is essential in balancing your hormones. Now, there is exercise necessary for our students, of course, because of the neurotransmitters that it increases, because it sends blood to the brain. But the exercise of the brain, look here, if you exercise your brain in study without the corresponding physical exercise, it has a tendency to attract the blood to the brain in more concentrated forms, and the circulation of the blood through the system becomes unbalanced because there's so much brain work and activity, and so you're tense and the body is not getting to send the blood throughout the entire body. The brain has too much blood and the extremities too little. So as you begin exercising, you call down some of that blood from your brain into your limbs, and you get proper and improved circulation and, you know, bringing fresh new blood to the brain again, which is what you want, but the entire body is now balanced in its blood flow. There should be rules regarding their studies to certain hours, and then a portion of their time should be spent in physical labor. And if their habits of eating and dressing and sleeping are in accordance with physical law, they can obtain an education without sacrificing physical and mental health. Taken from Councils on Health, page 177. So let there be some time even for our students to engage in physical labor. What is the most effective way to build bone density? A light, balanced light weight training routine on yard work, a combination of raking weeds and leaves and gardening. Can exercise help with aches and pains? Yes. One study found that moderate exercise helped lessen symptoms of osteoporosis in people over 60 years and a great reduction in pain and flexibility issues. Now, we want you to turn to the lifestyle assessment form in your booklet. There you would be able to find some additional questions on exercise, which would help others when you are trying to work with them and analyze their exercise activity and to be able to make recommendations to them on this point of exercise. Now, do you exercise? Why is exercise so vital to our health? For proper blood circulation, strengthening of bone and muscle, treatment of disease. Example, it lowers blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. So you would see a couple pointers being repeated here from what we discussed earlier, but it's all repetition, deepens impression, but it's to answer those specific questions with regard to individuals that you would be helping at some point to analyze and to see how they're doing with their exercise. So the other question that you may ask is, how many times per week do you exercise? We want to encourage that individuals exercise 7 days per week. Walking first thing when? In the morning, it would burn predominantly fat. Walking later in the day will burn 50% sugar and 50% fat. And so the sugar from your foods and the other 50% fat from the body fat will, if you walk later in the day, 50% sugar, 50% fat. 1 hour of continual walking is equivalent to how many units of insulin? 20 units. How would you rate your exercise? If someone says that, they're a marathon runner, what would you advise them? This results in an overtaxation of the joints and wear away the cartilage because of the running. And studies show that runners get a runner's heart, an enlarged heart, and this can lead to a heart attack. You find that there's also something called that you can over-exercise. Do you think that you can over-exercise? Yes, you can. So whereas we encourage walking, and for individuals who are diabetic, if you were to walk and you wanted to get your sugar levels down even quickly, more quick, you would be able to walk in the morning, walk in the afternoon again for 1 hour in the morning, and you walk in the afternoon for 1 hour, and your sugar levels will drop even further. There are individuals who, when at night, they test their blood sugar levels and it is high. If you want to use a natural means to bring that blood sugar level down, walk. Even if it is in your veranda, that you walk back and forth, and you do that for 30 minutes, for 1 hour, you go test your sugar levels after, and it will be down. Okay, so going to bed, what we encourage with individuals who are diabetic is that you test your blood sugar early morning, you test it at last thing before you go to bed. And so if before you go to bed, your sugar level is high, walk. Don't just sit and sigh about it, but walk. Mark time in place, just walk and test it again, and you will see that it will be lower. And there are individuals who would stress themselves out by trying to lose the weight, get walking early in the morning. But don't over-exercise. I've known of individuals who would really do strenuous exercises, and it caused so much stress on the body, this particular young lady, that she started menstruating at odd times within her monthly cycle. And in talking with her, it was recognized that she was over exercising, and simply by cutting out certain activities and just moderately walking, doing that 1 hour, everything normalized again. So don't be overly zealous with even that which is good. Remember temperance. So we need to have balance and moderation in all things, even that which is good. So what are your favorite exercise sessions? If someone puts any other thing other than walking, we need to impress upon them that walking in all cases where it is possible is the best remedy for diseased bodies, because in this exercise, all the organs of the body are brought into use. There is no exercise that can take the place of walking. By it, the circulation of the blood is greatly improved. no other exercise than walking. I remember one time I had to do a medical, and they, you know, you go on the treadmill, and they hook up all the little gadgets to the body, and then they would keep increasing that treadmill. You start off walking, and it would increase, and your stamina being so great because you're on a plant-based diet, they just kept increasing it, and so I had to be walking fast, and soon enough, it got to a pace where I couldn't walk so fast. I had to be like running on the treadmill. And so they run that for a couple minutes and check, you know, how that works on your body and how healthy you are. And so when we were done, I spoke to the physician, doctor, who was doing the test. And I asked him, you know, you do this all the time in all these physical activities, but what do you think is the best form of exercise when it comes to diseased bodies? And so he, you know, explained different things. It depends on the state of the individual, on their health, what issues they have, on their heart condition, and everything that will determine what they can do. And I said, okay, so I listened, and I said, well, at the end of the day, what would be the safe and the best one to do, say, for someone who has heart problems? And he said walking. Without a shadow of a doubt, walking would be the best one. And so for in all cases, and you know, walking is the best form of exercise. How do you feel after exercise? If someone feels bad after the exercise, what does it mean, and should they stop exercising? So do not stop exercising if you feel, you know, lightheaded, if you feel that there's tingling around the body, throughout the body, and so forth. You find this to be quite common, even with those who have high blood pressure. It's because their blood pressure is coming down. And so as they may be out exercising, we tell, you know, folks, just eat a fruit. As a matter of fact, for those who are diabetic, every time you go outdoors to exercise or indoors, every time you're exercising, don't leave home without your fruit in your hand. All right? Don't leave home without it. Without what? A fruit in your hand. So if you have a banana and a cut peeled and cut orange, those are great for holding in a little bag and walking with it. Why? Because as you go out walking, remember, it's going to reduce sugar levels. And your sugar levels in coming down will cause you to feel lightheaded, a little dizzy, a tingling sensation in your hands or in your feet, a little coldness in the body. And so you know that your sugar level is dipping. You simply eat that orange, eat that banana, and it will help to send your sugar levels back up, and you will be able to make it back home. So make sure for our diabetics, don't leave home ever without having that sugar, that fruit in your hand, because you want to make sure that you get back home and you don't pass out on the street, as some have when they were hesitant to walk with that fruit. A gentleman, we were in Honduras, and he said, oh, I can walk and I don't need any fruit. And he went out, and sure enough, as his blood sugar levels started to go drop on him and go lower, he felt so faint that he had to stop, sit on the side of the road, and call for help. The first time he called, and he said, you know, ask for juice. And they were able to give him some juice to help him raise his sugar level back up. But the thing is that, you know, had he had that fruit, he would have been easily able to eat it and make it back home safely. So walk short distances If you feel any other discomfort when you're exercising, go short distances. You know, you do an exercise as much as your body can give, because there's some folks who are so sick and so weak. Do not say that you cannot walk, you cannot exercise. Walk, but do as much as your body can take. So if it means a 10 minutes, a 15 minutes, you would find that your body will strengthen and you would soon be able to go greater lengths. There are individuals who have come to us with heart problems. You know, they can't even walk 100 yards without getting heart chest pain. But as we insist that they do their walking, just start. You know, that's the thing. Start walking. And as you do so, the heart will be strengthened, your legs will be strengthened, your vitality will be improved, your energy will be improved and boosted, and you will be able to go further and further as the weeks come by. So, do you experience any pain while you are exercising? If someone says that they get pain in their chest and radiating down their left arm, what advice would you give? So just be cautious, because it may be that they have heart disease. So get them tested and let them, treat the condition of their heart problem. Once you're getting pain, that is not just discomfort. You're getting pain. You need to stop and find out what's causing that pain and address it. Another thing too is that when individuals walk, and when they for their exercise, and with your brisk walking, if you feel that you have a burning sensation behind your calf muscle, it is because your blood, and those muscle area hadn't been exercised for a while. One, but also because you're not keeping hydrated, you're not drinking enough water. So it's important that you drink enough water early morning, in between your meals, at night you drink, keep sipping away at your water, mouthfuls at a time, so that your cells can absorb water and your cells are not dried out, your muscle tissue isn't dried out, but it is hydrated enough. And so soon that pain behind your calf muscle will go away. So water is essential. You can also sip away at your water while you are exercising, while you're walking on your walk. Another thing too is that individuals would say, as one lady came and said to us, I'm allergic to exercise. What do you mean? I'm allergic to exercise. Why do you say so? You know, that's unheard of, that people would be allergic to exercise. She said, well, every time I exercise, I get itching all over my body, just starts to itch. Well, applause, hooray, because your blood is now circulating. And so that's one of the effects, that as your blood begins to circulate, in your tissues and so forth, your muscles, it gives an itching sensation. So you may feel your legs sort of itchy, but it's nothing to it. You know, just continue, and in a few days' time, it would all go away, and you will not have that itching sensation anymore. So I want to encourage everyone to improve on their health, and improving on your health, and one of these wonderful laws of health is that of exercise, and the best form of exercise, that of walking. So this brings us to the end of our topic, and I'd like to close this off in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we were able to discuss on the topic of exercise, for finding so many simple truths within this topic of exercise, for understanding the importance of walking and the benefits to our bodies to give us proper health, to energize us, and to cause so many parts in our bodies to work efficiently, We pray that you would help us to put it into practice. That which we have learned and share it with others is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.